everyone, this is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover two of the lectionary selections for Pentecost Sunday, Year B. We have a valley full of dry bones that Ezekiel and the Spirit bring back to life. And we have the classic Acts 2 story of that same Spirit filling the apostles and making them preach. Do you suppose they were using multiple intelligence illustrations and special effects? Probably. You can too.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for Year B, Pentecost, is Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. This is the very famous story of Ezekiel, with the hand of the Lord upon him, being brought out by the Spirit of the Lord, set down in the middle of a valley full of dry bones. We did this particular passage for Lent back in Year A, Lent 5. So as we were working on it, we thought, gosh, this kind of sounds familiar. So we're going to encourage you to go over and take a look at that. We have a link for that particular show on the worksheet for this passage. So go over there specifically and look at what we came up with for music, because we had a lot of stuff. We have special effects for this particular passage, what we came up with for this Sunday. We have a special effect in Word Smart, which David's church is actually going to be using this Sunday. We have both in Eye Smart. We have an illustration in Math, Body, People, and Self. So we'll go ahead and get started with Word.
Okay, so we have we've put together a choral reading for this passage, and it goes back and forth between Ezekiel and the Lord, and we broke it up into three parts for each, and you could do multiple readers for each part if you wanted to, depending on how many people you have.
Mm-hmm. There's room for eight.
Yes. Yeah. Right. There were five Ezekiels.
Five Ezekiels and three gods.
They take turns and they kind of build in places and rotate through, and mm-hmm. it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So we'll have that script up for you on the show notes, and you can take a look at it and make use of it as you see fit. It also has people smart elements to it because it's dramatic and drama is people smart. Moving on to iSmart. iSmart is about space as much as it is about seeing things. It's a very evocative scene here of walking through the valley of the dry bones. And so we tried to think of what would be a modern equivalent, and thought about, for folks in the U.S., this would be pretty universally connected for us. If you were walking through Manhattan and walking through the Ground Zero at the Twin Towers
on 9/11,
on 9/12,
yeah,
maybe, you know. So after everything has settled, mm-hmm. Just walking through there, and of course, for Ezekiel, he was by himself, and so you kind of set up what that might be like, though, to be at the base of the, or at what was left of the Twin Towers after they fell, if you were the only one in the city.
Wow.
All right. So, yeah, because I was in New York a month after. It was October 11th. I was there, and that was, I mean, there was, yeah. Well, that's a story for another day. But anyway, try and imagine with your folks and describe what that might be like, and just that scene of death. And if that's not part of your experience, if you're one of our listeners from other parts of the globe, then I'm sure there are places that you would be familiar with or that you could make use of. So anyway, the idea would be getting in touch with that devastated place. On a lighter note, for special effect, thinking of these bones coming together and standing up reminded me of the Ray Harryhausen special effects from Jason and the Argonauts, where Jason and company fight the children of Hydra. That's the skeletons that rise up out of the earth. And
it's like they just sort of throw off a manhole cover, and there they are.
You could show that clip maybe, or just have a look at it to inform an illustration for you. But again, not quite as heavy, that one.
Well, speaking of heavy, we're going to go right back into that with Math Smart, because we have a list of historic massacres. By date, by geography, by number, and a brief description. Some of them are small. We call them massacres, maybe more for the political import of that, particularly the Boston Massacre, because only 5 people died in that, but it was a very important part of the American Revolution. But others are truly staggering in their scope, reaching tens or hundreds of thousands, and a few of them even on into the millions. So we put this in Math Smart for the obvious, the numbers aspect of that. And if it's just millions of people killed all at once, dang.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, then to continue on with something that's equally gruesome, this is really just an awful thing. We have a link to what happens to your body when you die. There is a farm in Texas that essentially has cadavers all over it in various stages of decay, and they study what happens when human bodies decay. A lot of it is they do this essentially for the forensic information that is gathered, so that if you come across a body out in wherever, and you can determine by the state of decay how long that person has been dead, and then maybe piece together what happened to that individual. And if there was a crime, you might be able to help with, you know, pinpointing the time of death, or getting closer to time of death, you might be able to find somebody you could prosecute if there is a murder. But if you go to this link and you click through, don't do it right after eating.
Yeah, there are some very graphic pictures. Yeah. And so if you're weak of stomach, turn off the images on your browser.
right.
For People Smart, you know, this doesn't get much better.
Well, that's kind of the nature of this passage.
Yeah, yeah. So
massive death.
Yeah, and so going with the toward the end of the passage, where the Lord is saying, the people of Israel say, we are entirely cut off, our hope is gone. Consider, where are there places, where are there populations now whose hope is gone? Where do people feel entirely cut off? And what metaphorical vision might apply to them? Would the Valley of Dry Bones still work for them? Or is there something else perhaps closer to their context or to a modern setting that would be more appropriate? And what word might the Lord be calling the church to prophesy to them? And what form might that message take? And what action should accompany it? So those are just some questions maybe to guide you in structuring an illustration there, or just lay them out there for folks to wrestle with themselves. Then we have a couple suggestions of what some of those populations might be with some links on the worksheet at morethanhearing.org. So the people of Myanmar or that's
Myanmar.
Myanmar, which is Burma, right? Mm-hmm.
Used to be Burma.
Used to be Burma. They prefer Myanmar, at least the government does. And we have a link to a New York Times article there with aid groups that are working there. Syria, of course, would be another good choice and where aid could be found. We have links there. And South Sudan and the Enough Project. So we have links for that.
And then finally, for self-smart as an illustration, skeletons seem to be pretty universally scary, probably because they reveal our ultimate demise and the stripping away of our humanity and our identity. But would it be more scary or less scary to see the Lord reconstructing and reanimating a mess of them?
So there's where things turn, hopefully, that... I don't know.
Well, there's kind of a Walking Dead sort of aspect of that. Oh my gosh, they all got up.
Yeah. But they're not going. They're not living.
Well, but exactly. Right, so. And in the story, they do all get to their feet.
Yeah.
But that's only after the spirit has given them life.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and brought them back.
Right.
And so
And there's a sense that they're not, you know, decomposing bodies that have gotten up off the ground and are shambling about.
Right.
They are
recomposed.
Recomposed bodies. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I can imagine that being terrifying and awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think was probably what
Ezekiel was going for.
Yeah. So,
And the whole idea of it too is that the power of God can reanimate like that. It's not impossible for God to call dry white bones in a sun-bleached valley back into being living beings.
Right, right. So there's the hope. So after you paint all this misery with the first lot of stuff, then be sure and make the turn
that
the Lord conquers all that misery.
Right,
that,
exactly.
That's the point. Okay. All right.
We'll go with that.
Let's go with that and let's go on. The New Testament lesson for year B, Pentecost Sunday, is Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. Surprise!
Surprise!
Yeah. No one's surprised, but everybody loves this. Doesn't everybody love this?
Yeah, especially when you get to talk about all the different places in the world.
Everybody loves doing the list, right?
Pamphylia.
Yeah.
Phrygia.
Edomites and Elamites and Mesopotamians.
Proselytes.
Yeah, all those guys.
Cretans.
Yeah, that's one everybody likes.
Yeah.
You bunch of Cretans. So anyway, you know the drill. They're there. The rushing wind, the fire, the preaching, and the what? And then more preaching.
Right.
And so there you go. Have fun. Now, as with the Ezekiel passage, we have done this passage before. We did it on Pentecost last year, and we did it on Pentecost the year before. So we have links on the worksheet, and we'll have them in the show notes.
Yes.
And you can take a look at those other episodes where we have lots of other excellent ideas that you can take advantage of.
Yes.
However, we have some fresh ideas here as well. So we've got word smart, eye smart, math smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. All here we go.
Well, having said it was a fresh idea, it's not entirely.
Yeah,
however, for an illustration for WordSmart, you can talk about the challenges of speaking with someone who doesn't speak your language. There's lots of nodding and smiling. When we had Colombians come stay with us back in 96 when we lived in Ohio,
right.
One of the men from Colombia and I wound up in a car together driving across town to a meeting, and my Spanish was as good as his English.
Yeah.
So we kind of smiled and nodded at each other a whole lot. And each of us, you know, kind of reached into the recesses of the other person's language that we had learned and tried. So anyway, so you might want to talk about some of the challenges of communicating with a person. Well, and sometimes the challenge of communicating with another person, you're speaking the same language and you don't understand it.
Yeah. And what would it be like if you could suddenly...
Yeah, be able to speak it and comprehend it.
Yeah.
Have a very deep conversation. That'd be so cool.
It would.
So for a special effect, this is something that we have suggested before, but we suggested it with the prayers of the people. This one this one is specifically to reading the passage. If you have other people in your congregation that do speak another language or fluent in another language, invite them to read this in that language. And if you have more than one person who's fluent in a different language, have them read in that language and have them read it all together at the same time. And if you don't have anybody, you could always go to and gather audio or video clips of people reading this passage in their own native language and then bring it all together in a video presentation or an audio presentation, which would be kind of cool. I remember we did that one time in a service at seminary. A bunch of people, one person started reading it in English, and then somebody stood up and started reading it in Korean, and then there was Latin and German and Spanish and Russian, and it was really cool.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would. And I think you could probably find translators online where you could type in the text and
hit a button
and it'll read it back for you in the translation.
Interesting.
You could probably record those.
That would be interesting. I might do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
I hadn't thought about that, but
yeah,
you could.
If we do that, we'll present it in a feedback loop in a future episode. Anyway, so let's move on to I.
Okay, so for iSmart, this connects with an idea that is actually further down the list in SelfSmart. So we'll just maybe hit that bit now. So
do it.
Okay, so quick bypassing to SelfSmart. Peter acts as a conduit here for the Spirit, for the Holy Spirit, to communicate to the residents of Jerusalem that he is not the message, but the message travels through him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's SelfSmart because...
Well, SelfSmart because when you are a preacher, you have to be aware of your own ego and where it is in the preaching. And so sometimes if you start thinking, ooh, that did work, ooh, that didn't work, you get in the way of yourself.
Oh, okay. And Peter was not.
No, obviously. I mean, the Spirit was pouring through him. So even if he had tried to get in his way, his own way, it probably wouldn't have worked.
Yeah. So... popping back up to iSmart, then you could do a special effect of that by creating a conduit, which is a pipe or a channel that moves a fluid from one place to another. Now, you know, my particular penchant is for fire. So... this is for entertainment purposes only.
I'm going to be visiting you in jail someday, aren't I?
No. This is for entertainment purposes only, and so do this at your own risk if you do it. Don't take my word for it. Practice it before you try it. Have all the things in place that you need to control the situation. Have all necessary precautions in place if you choose to use flame. But you could create a burner pipe where you would and we've got a link to a video where a kid does this. You take a
or you could just show the video of the kid doing this.
You could. That would be safer. So you
insurance
take
policy
a,
might appreciate
that,
it more.
That is true.
I'm sorry, I'll stop interrupting now.
You have a copper pipe with some holes drilled in it and the end clamped shut. And then you stick a propane or butane tank, torch,
in
the other end with the nozzle part taken off as he shows. Do it just like he shows you because it'll work. and then you make some adjustments and stuff. Anyway, you turn on the jet, you push the gas through the pipe, you light the holes, and you got flame. And so you're moving the gas through the pipe as a conduit, and then you get flame. So there's the special effect. Now, you could also do such a thing with water,
which
would
be
safer.
Messier, but safer.
Exactly. So that's probably a better idea. Colored water might work better. But there you go. So the idea of a conduit for the spirit. Going on to math smart, then, something less dangerous is a little bit of... less dangerous, less messy. It's
math.
Just numbers. Won't hurt you. Okay, so this actually is not in this passage, but later, of course, we learn that 3,000 souls were saved that day from Peter's preaching. And so what percentage would that be of your worshiping congregation? So, for example, if you have a worshiping congregation of 3,000 people, then that would be a 100% increase, and you'd have 200% of what you had when you started. And we've got the math for you there. And if you have 50 in your worship ordinarily, then this would be an increase of 6,000%.
Wow.
So...
Hey, so I have about 20 sometimes.
Right. So the way that that works is it's your worshiping your worship numbers plus 3,000 divided by your worshiping numbers.
Okay. That's, wow. Okay. That's
right. So
that's going to be a big 3, number.
3,020 divided by 20 would be 150. All right. Times 100.
Wow.
Here, I've got a calculator here. Let's do it. Okay, so 30.
Say 15.
Okay, 15?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 3,015 divided by 15 is 201 times 100 is 20,100%.
Wow.
So you take off the 100% because that's what you start with. And so you would be increasing by 20,000%.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. Right?
Mm-mm.
So there you go. That's a little bit of math for you. And we have that formula for you in the worksheet, morethanhearing.org. And take a look.
For Nature Smart, we're looking at the idea of the windstorm that blew through the house. We had a big windstorm go through just yesterday and knocked out our power for a while.
Is why we're a little late this week.
Yes, exactly. And this last March, a very big windstorm came barreling through the Washington, D.C. area. We have a link to some of the damage that happened with that one. It's one of the reasons I didn't have worship that the first Sunday in March, because of the windstorm. As I was looking around at the winds, there was a question that was asked at National Geographic, wondering if our globe is getting windier because it's heating up. If you want to pursue that particular question, we have a link to National Geographic that has some ideas about that. And if you want to talk about wind is simply air that is moving. It moves quicker at sometimes, and it moves faster over a particular geographic terrain or influences. So, for example, water coming up off of water, it moves quicker, and it moves faster through canyons or the canyons of skyscrapers.
Mm-hmm.
So, There's some nature smart information or intelligence that you can spark as illustrations there. For a special effect, I found a link to some homeschool pages that have a way of making a pinwheel generator to demonstrate the power and the energy in wind. And then I also found 20 other experiments that you can use in a classroom or however you want to. Some of them are specifically about wind. Others are more just kind of energy in general. But those are some options that you could use to do some gee-whiz experiments. And for people smart, break your folks into some groups and have them discuss what are some of the challenges that they've experienced with language. Have the experience been traveling in other countries, working with people who have immigrated to your country, communicating with different age groups? You know, it's same language, speaking the same language, but you've got different idioms and different ways of expressing yourself. Or talking to someone from Glasgow. We understand that that's kind of a challenge to understand that particular part of the world.
I bet it is. Going back to self-smart for special effects, we have a couple of ideas here for your reflection or for that of your congregation and similar sorts of things here. So when have you had something important to tell someone and struggled to make yourself understood across languages or across ages or all those things that we were just talking about in people? Or another question might be, have you ever found yourself communicating in a manner that astonishes even you? So just everything is going so well. You know, you make the perfect presentation at work, or you give the perfect sermon for a particular situation, or you say just the right thing to a friend in need, you know, and you're like, where did that even come from? Mm-hmm. So just wondering if maybe that was the sort of experience the apostles were having. And if they, I wonder how many of them reflected on that later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe even got an idea that you liked better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Remember to check out the show notes, worksheets, links, and resources at our website. They go hand in glove with the podcast and give you lots more material to work with. Don't forget to subscribe using the links on the website for iTunes, Google Play, Android, or good old RSS, or just point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can help others find us more easily by writing a review at the iTunes store. And of course, you can share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another episode next week. So in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
This is a Whippet Good production. Is that right? Did I do that right?
I don't know.